I was like, oh, let's just wait till Sunday. This is going to be my first place I'm going to look at. So no big deal. Yeah, Friday. This was like on a
Gone.
Wednesday. And then on that Friday, it was gone.
Hello, and welcome to the House Help Podcast. I'm Chen, a recent survivor of the boiling hot Arizona housing market. Every month, I share a new home buying story from everyday people in the US or Canada so that you can learn their secret to success. Subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platforms and follow househelp.podcast on Instagram for the latest stories and updates. In episode 2, I invited my colleague Crystal to the podcast to share how she persuaded the seller's agent to take her offer over cash investors. Crystal bought her dream condo in Scottsdale, Arizona in December 2020 with a super tight budget. Find out how this first-time homebuyer got her offer accepted. Hello, Crystal. Welcome to the House How podcast. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How about you, Chen?
Doing really well. Thank you so much for agreeing to this and joining me on the podcast and sharing your story today.
Of course. I'm so happy to do this with you.
Thank you. So we'll just get right into it. Can you introduce yourself a little bit for our listeners?
For sure. So I'm Crystal Nahar, and I am 40 years old. It's still kind of hard to believe, though, myself.
It's hard for anyone who can see Crystal and knows Crystal to believe.
I appreciate that. I really do. I was in the market for a condo, just kind of something small and simple. For my first time home, I wasn't like looking for a huge buy or anything like that. And the area that I ended up buying in was South Scottsdale,
a wonderful in Arizona.
Area. Yeah, here in Arizona. Sorry, I should have clarified that.
Oh, you know, it's for my international listeners.
Well, you know, and I know everybody knows about Scottsdale. But yeah, that's where I ended up buying, and it was quite the process. I'll definitely say that.
Very nice. We can't wait to hear about the interesting process. So, just to paint a picture of the house you bought or the condo that you bought for our listeners, what is it like? How many bedrooms, the type of condo it is, mm-hmm. anything that stand out about your home that you really loved when you found it, or any like unique quirks?
Well, I will say I was stalking the area very heavily. There was a lot of condos that was in this association that was going up for sale, and they were disappearing fast within days. So I was just kind of, well, I'm going to watch. I'm going to wait for the right one. And the one that I ended up getting, I loved it for one because of the location. It's right off of Greenbelt. So there's like this nice active area. It has like a heated pool, a spa, a gym. I know, fancy, right? I was like, look at all these amenities. It's like a resort, even though nice. it's an older condo association, and it's great. I love it. It is a one bedroom though. I almost wish I could have gotten a two bedroom, but I actually got it for less than what everybody else was selling theirs for. But I feel like it's because it just still needs some renovation. It's not as updated as some of the other ones were. And it's fairly, I don't want to say beat up. It's just, when I bought it, I didn't realize when I walked in and I saw everything, and it was kind of hard to visualize because it was an older couple that were selling it. Mm-hmm. So they had a lot of stuff. It was just, you know, imagining it cleared out and like, where would I put my things? And there was even like a litter box that was like a Rubbermaid tub in the bedroom. Oh. Thankfully, it wasn't like too strong of a smell. And I was like, thank God there's no carpet.
Oh, yeah.
Because I know that smell gets in there really bad.
Oh my gosh, so they can't smell it probably.
I know. We're walking around in there and I'm like, okay, so they have cats. So, and then they had like a large dining table, and this is it's 800 square feet. So it's not really that big of a place, but for, you know, one or two people, you don't really need that much.
Yeah.
So, absolutely fell in love with it. It was on the very end like unit, kind of more centrally inward, had a huge patio.
Ooh.
And I loved, because, you know, here in Arizona, it gets so hot. So I loved where it was at because it had a plenty of shade. When it get too hot, had a washer and dryer that came with it, all the appliances, which need newer, but gradually over time, those will get replaced. You know, it was just, it seemed like a very great home for a first time home for me to be able to like mold it and shape it into my own. So it was just, it had so many unique things about it that made it that way for me. And I loved it. The biggest seller for me was the walk-in closet. You have no idea. Yeah. Like that meant like the world to me. I walked in there and I was like, there's so much room for activities in here.
Coming from Toronto, I've never seen the type of walk-in closets that we see here, even for like university apartments. Like, you know, in Tempe, the apartments are made for these college students, college kids. And the size of those walk-ins are like bedrooms in Toronto, like a really good sized bedroom sometimes.
That's insane.
It's luxury here.
Mine's not that big, but
but I'm sure it's like a really nice size.
Oh,
like,
yeah. It could be a half bath at least.
Right.
But
right.
I mean, I've seen some of those where you walk into the closet, you're like, was this a bedroom before? Or did you just turn this into a closet? Because I'm getting ideas, you know?
It's so crazy. And then can you remind us when you bought your home?
So I closed on my home December 21st, 2020. It was quite invigorating, like closing that close to the holidays, but
yeah, that's true. So how long was the whole process from like putting in, or I guess actually how long was the entire search process and then closing period?
Oh my gosh, I felt like I could have found lost children faster than I found this place. Seriously. So I start looking in August. I just casually start looking in August, and then I connected with my realtor, I think towards the end of August. And, you know, I had to do all the things, like answer all those questions, like, what are you looking for? What's your price range? All these things. And, you know, I was like, okay, so this is becoming official. We're going to start looking. And I don't know how many places I looked at.
Oh, wow.
How many I looked at. So I looked in Mesa, Phoenix, Tempe, and then, you know, South Scottsdale. But, you know, when you're looking for a condo, you have to like think about the HOA cost. Those can get you. Those are the hardest part. So, you know, some I would look at and they didn't have what I needed. They were just kind of lacking some things. But then you would get that HOA fee and you're like, I'm not going to pay. That's a car payment.
And
if it doesn't include enough of the utilities to compromise for all of that, then it's not worth it. So I think like by the time, so this started in August and then my offer was accepted on the, on my condo, November 14th, I want to say.
Okay.
I think that was like the 14th or the following weekend. It was all a blur. Because like when I like was told, and it was accepted the day that I went up for sale and the day that I like, you know, sent my letter, my offer, like I had to go on top of it.
Yeah.
And it was, it just like happened so sudden. I was like, are you sure? Did you call the right person?
How did you decide that it was like the time to start looking back in August?
You know, the thing is, I never thought about owning my own property, never thought about it at all. And, you know, Yuri and I, we're not married or anything, but he, you know, he's very supportive. He's like, you know, you should try to invest. You should try to have something of your own. And quite honestly, a huge part of it was that because I did, like I was telling you prior to this, I moved around a lot as a child. So I never had a permanent residence and never had anything that was mine. Never owned something. So a lot of this kind of processed over time.
Right.
And so it was kind of like an emotional journey for me to like say, hey, you know, I'm going to do this. I'm a grown woman. I should own something other than 50 some shoes, you know?
So. And those shoes deserve a good home.
They deserve that their walk-in own. Closet. Yes. That walk-in closet. So, you know, it started, it was a very like emotional kind of journey of just getting to that point and then just saying, all right, I'm ready. You know, I was 39 then, I turned 40 in December, and it was like,
oh, I need nice to do this. Birthday present.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. That's why I'm saying December was quite the month.
Right. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
So for you, how did you decide your budget, and did you manage to stay around your budget?
I definitely did. It was kind of challenging with that, especially with the market. And when you're buying a condo, you're getting outbidded by cash buyers, because to them that's chump mm-hmm. change. Mm-hmm. And they can just walk in and be like, oh yeah, you're spending under 200K. Here we go. And so I'm fortunate enough that my boyfriend Yuri is a mortgage loan officer. He does a lot of the lending. So he helped me a lot. And, you know, if it wasn't for him, I probably wouldn't have felt as confident, but he looked at the numbers, ran the numbers, and said, this is what you can afford. This is how much you need to have saved. This is what you're going to need for down payment. So he helped break it down, because all of it was like a foreign language to me. I had no idea what I was getting into with that. Yeah. And it still overwhelms me now, but I'll ask him questions, and he learned a lot from it, because he's never done a sell or like a loan on a condo. And there was so many rules and regulations. It's different when you buy a house versus when you buy a condo.
What were the biggest differences for condos?
Probably all the forms that I had to fill out. There was a lot of, not just the insurance, but I had to have proof from the HOA. There was a firewall thing. There was, I had to, first of all, because I had to say, this is going to be my permanent residence. Mm-hmm. I had to agree to that. And then because it is a condo, and then the type of loan that I got, the condo association had to approve that. So there's just more involved of what they have to approve, like the HOA board.
Oh, which really?
I didn't. Yeah. And I didn't realize they had to submit approval. So then, you know, he's having to reach out to them. I literally tried to go to their physical office, which was impossible to find. I think it's like Narnia. It doesn't exist, physically in this world.
They claim.
So, yes. And I was like, well, this is your address and I'm here and there's no such place. But
oh my God.
Yeah. I don't know. COVID and everything. Things could change. People were remote. And it was great, because if I had questions, or I was like, well, what does this mean? I don't understand it. Or if he would just kind of like, it's okay, you don't really need to understand it. You just got to know that it's protecting you, or know that it's for this purpose. I'm like, okay, got it. I'm going to go with that.
And that's good to hear from someone you trust, because we get told that by, you know, third party that we don't really know. And then mm-hmm. we have to decide, can we really just take that at face value, or are they hiding something from us?
Yeah.
So that's definitely a benefit. So in the end, did you end up sticking to your budget?
I did. I actually had to keep under $180,000, which isn't very much for what I was trying to buy. And some of the places I looked at, and I was like, oh, wow. So $130,000 for this, I can see why.
Oh.
And this, and I was like, and some of these places were in Phoenix, and you're walking, and it's not a bad area, like Arcadia. That's a great area. And love that area, but it was quite an interesting little spot that I went to. And I looked at two different condos in the same spot, and both my realtor and I are like,
That's the thing about here, one street corner versus the next is day and night.
Yeah. Isn't that, it's just, it blows my mind that it's like that. And I had such a hard time. I was like, oh, I kind of had higher expectations for this being in the Arcadia area. And it was a great location, not the best area of Arcadia.
Yeah, you really have to walk it. Sometimes you have to walk it at night because it's different as well.
I looked at an amazing place out in Mesa. It was 2-bedroom, had a loft. Oh my gosh, it was a dream. It had a garage. It was perfect. It was at the top of my budget, and a cash buyer came in and swooped it out from.
Oh, no.
And it got to the point where I was getting so used to that. And it was kind of the same song and dance. But my condo, I ended up getting it for $4,000 less than what it was worth the day that I signed for it.
Oh, the appraisal.
Yes, the appraisal. I was grateful that I was able to get something like that. And again, it just needs some work on it, but it was worth it for me. I can't go wrong with the budget that I had, and it was at the lower end of it. So it was even better.
That's so great. So aside from looking for a condo, were there other specific features that you were looking for in this home when you started searching, and did it change over time?
It did change over time. Definitely no carpet. It's mostly because of my allergens.
And oh.
I struggle with things like that. And I wanted to have a washer dryer. I wanted to have like as many appliances as possible. Those were like some of my main concerns. I wanted to have, you know, a nice open space. So the first place that I looked at that I put an offer in was 600 square feet, which is really small, but it was updated. It was nice. Didn't have the walk-in closet, but it had a lot of storage space. So I was like, okay, it's comparable enough. And I wanted to have like an outdoor patio area. I had to compromise with some of the things, like it wasn't as updated. The flooring wasn't what I really wanted. It's tile flooring, but it looked like they dragged a bunch of things across the floor and chipped everything up. I was like, you know, I'll eventually replace those. But yeah. I had to kind of look at it as like, this is my blank canvas. This is how I can rebuild it. And I didn't realize that I was giving up kitchen drawers. When I bought my condo, there was no drawers. There was none whatsoever. I was like, where did they put their
stuff? So where did they put their stuff for that gigantic dining table?
Right.
What went on there?
Right. And so I was just like, I can't believe I didn't notice that. Cause I was unpacking things and I was trying to I had like this nice organizer for the silverware. And my friend's like, hey, you don't have a drawer in here. And I was like, what? And I was like, okay, well, I don't know where they put it. And it didn't have like a microwave. It is, like I said, an older condo. So I remember they had this cart that their microwave sat on and it had drawers underneath it. I was like, so that's probably where they put it.
Mm-hmm.
So it made sense. But my biggest thing is as I started to go out further and look further away from where I want it to be, I was finding that there was, you know, some decent places, but then I was thinking like, well, even though we're in COVID right now and I work from home, I don't want to be driving that far to work. That's a big thing for me. I'm like, I don't want to spend that much of my time driving.
Yeah.
And I decided to dial back in. I was like, I need to stay close to work. I want to stay within a reasonable distance of an area that I'm familiar with. There was a lot of like give and take that I had to go back and forth on. And I ended up settling for something that isn't as updated, that still needs quite a bit of work, but still like of good value.
Yeah. And you saved a ton of money. So all of that can go into the rentals when you eventually want to do it.
Yes, for sure.
So I think a lot of my listeners are kind of like us, first time home buyers. So just going back a little bit to the beginning, how did you end up finding your realtor?
The thing, you know, you kind of get to know people and you always have connections. And I was starting with a friend's mom, but I don't think she took me as serious. Like she was like, oh, you know, if you want to go look at places, we'll go look at places. But I don't think she was like understanding that I was very serious about it. So I thought, well, maybe I need to go with somebody that's non-biased, that's, you know, knows me, but not that well. So I reached out to a friend. Unfortunately, she was in the process of getting a license for another thing. So she wasn't allowed to do real estate for a couple months. So she referred me to her longtime friend. That's how I met him. And he became my realtor. And I mean, he was quick. He was like, all right, I got questions. Let's talk on the phone. Let's get to know each other. Let's find out what you're looking for. I want to get to, you know, to the point where I understand what's going on. So it was kind of like this little trail of find the right person that can help me with this.
So going back to the whole process then, so it sounded like you made quite a few offers throughout the process.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's what a lot of people are feeling right now, like very defeated, just, yeah. You know, cash offers coming in, like you said. So how many did you go through and what was that like?
I want to say it was probably like 6 to 8 offers.
That's crazy.
And yeah. And I was always encouraged to write a letter. I wasn't the only one writing a letter, of course, you know, because there were so many other people trying to actually buy. I really feel like that was the hardest part, is seeing the other people struggle along with me. And they're just looking for a home too. They weren't looking to invest or anything. I think what was my saving grace though, and this is something that I feel like changed it for me, is I went to the condo. I was stalking my condo. Like I saw that it was like coming soon. And I'm like, when I would check it every day, even though it had a predicted date.
Like you saw a sign outside or on a website?
No, my realtor would send me listings. So if it was in the area and in my budget, it would show, but it wouldn't, you know, I had to wait until it actually, you know, went up on the market, but it would give him notification that it was coming soon. Mm. So I'm like stalking it. And it actually popped up sooner. So I'm texting him. I was like, hey, it's for sale. It's on there right now. And I feel like he started to feel a little defeated too, because he said, well, they have an investor scheduled at this time to look at it at like 11 o'clock to look at it. He goes, so if you want to look at it, we need to go now. And I was like, so they're okay with me going now to look at it, even if they're getting an investor? He's like, yeah, they said, you know, just come by, but you know, please don't get your hopes up. I was like, I get it. Wow. Some song and dance. I ran home because I was getting ready to take my dogs for a walk. So what ended up happening is I ran home and I rushed to go like to the condo, and I'm like in my ball cap, tank top, and you know, leggings. I'm like, I don't really look dressed enough for this. I don't know why I feel like I got to be dressed up, but I didn't realize the selling agent was there hanging out, and she had like information, and she was just hanging out nearby. So my realtor and I, we go in, we're looking around, and I'm just like, I really want this place. And I had been manifesting this like for so long, because it was the location I wanted. Yeah. It was the condos that I was like just serious about. Yeah. So I just kept putting my, you know, thoughts into it. And, you know, I was nervous, and I felt so like vulnerable when we were in there. So we come out, and he said, well, the agent's here, you know, he's trying to tell her, you know, oh yeah, she's interested. And we've had her put so many offers in, and it was like almost like a pity party. And I was like, oh man. So he introduces me to her, and she's this wonderful, sweet woman. And they're asking me questions like, hey, you know, when are you in a rush? And I was like, no, it's totally not a rush. I'm buying for myself. I'm not like investing. This is my first time purchase. I really have no desire to like tell the people like, I need you out as soon as possible. There's flexibility. So she was asking me a lot of questions on behalf of the sellers. She's like, okay, you know, very sweet, very kind. And she wanted to get to know me, but I guess she told my realtor, like, you know, I want your person to come in before the investor. The investor was right there, right after. So he goes, go home, write your letter, let them know, you know, your intentions, you know, talk about, because it was going to be, you know, our older dog was going to live with me. And, you know, just kind of let them know your appreciation for their home, because these people had lived there for a long time and they were actually on the HOA board. So I know they had a lot of like concern and thought. So later that day, when my realtor calls me and told me that they accepted my offer, I was like, are you serious? Even with that investor? It's like, yeah, they did not want to sell to an investor. They wanted to sell to a person. So I really feel like that was, you know, if I wouldn't have had the opportunity to speak to her and just kind of like express like, hey, you know, I love this place. I love this location. This is how I feel. And she could see it and she could feel it from me. Then it really helped. And I feel like that's what made the biggest difference too. I feel like towards the end, when it came down to me speaking to the realtor, I'm the one that kind of made that happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm the one that really got mm-hmm. myself in the door.
Do you feel like then in hindsight, those letters, do you think those did anything?
Yes and no. I feel like there was some of them that just, I mean, I put a lot of heart and tears in those letters. And it was just kind of like, hey, this is who I am. This is why I want your home. This is what's going on. I feel like some of them were just very dismissive with it. You know, they mm-hmm. weren't, I almost wish that sellers could say, unless you're not coming in to drop cash, I'm not interested.
That's
and
right.
And I know
save,
that they really
save some time and heartache.
Yeah. I'm like, you know, it's like a dating process. It's like, what's your commitment level with this? Are you ready to like go through the whole process with me? Or are you just wanting to, you know, move on and just go on with everything?
Are you just looking for a sugar daddy here?
Yeah.
Sugar mama.
That's basically the best analogy for it. Like, I'm not that person.
Yeah.
I will give you my love.
Yeah, I will give you me.
Yes.
Isn't that worth something? No. Okay.
Right. Next. Right. Yeah. But I do feel like, you know, some of them, like the place I closed in, I felt like it was very genuine. They accepted my letter. They, you know, understood where I was coming from, and it was more important for them mm-hmm. on that too. So it did help.
Was there other things that you had to overcome during the process to get you to where you got to in the end?
It was a lot of self-talks, I feel like. Like, you really do, you get kind of hard on yourself. You're like, do I need this? Do I really want this? It was more or less overcoming the thought process of everything. Like, I didn't think it was going to be that hard. I didn't realize that, you know, just finding a place was already a challenge, but like having somebody accept that offer was the challenge. But then a huge part of it was the rejections. That was probably the biggest part of it. But I kind of feel like me having to talk myself through it is, you know, again, an emotional toll. And I would have these literally have these conversations with myself. It's like, it's okay, Crystal. It's going to be all right. You know, you're going to still have a place to live.
Yeah, that's true. What am I doing all this for?
And for me, I was doing it for the purpose of me having something that was mine to signify, you know, I am at this point in my life. I have worked hard to be able to get to this point in my life to actually have something of mine. And it just kind of felt like it was being right there at the tips of my fingers and it kept being taken away. So it was just that conversation. It's like, you know, nothing's being taken away. You're going to do this. It's just, you got to be patient. You got to be patient. And a lot of self-talks.
Do you feel like in the end, this was actually like the best place that you could have gotten?
Yeah. It was in August. It was the first place that I wanted to look at. And not the condo, but the area, in the same buildings and everything. I remember my realtor was like, okay, well, do you want to go look at it tomorrow or save it till Sunday? I was like, oh, let's just wait till Sunday. This is going to be my first place I'm going to look at. So no big deal. Yeah. Friday. This was like on a Wednesday. And then on that Friday, it was gone. So I was like, oh, so this is the game. So this is how this works. Okay.
That's crazy. Yeah.
So I had a whole different outlook on it after that whole experience. And I was like, wow, you know, and I still like to go I like to go on realtor.com and still look and just kind of like scope it out and see where things are at and, you know, what's in my neighborhood and what are they selling for.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just kind of interesting when you view it that way now and then how quickly it's still going. I thought for sure by now it would have slowed down, but
no, not at all. All right. So we're pretty much wrapping up. Is there any like final advice you would give home buyers who are frustrated in this purchasing process? Any words of encouragement or watch outs, any advice?
You know, quite honestly, it's probably very cliche of me to say, but don't give up. Keep write the letters, but be very genuine. Be very specific when you do. Like, I love the little nook in the kitchen. You know, don't generalize it. Just be very specific about what you love about their home. Because when they read it, they're going to feel like they saw something that I love about my home that I'm selling. The other thing is too, is just, it's going to take time. It's going to take a little bit longer, and don't be afraid to have those self conversations with yourself. Like, go in front of the mirror and just look at yourself. Like, it's going to be okay. You're going to get this, and you end up getting what you're supposed to get, but don't settle. Mm-hmm. Don't settle. I mean, only give up the things that are comparable enough, like me with my tile floors and having no drawers in the kitchen. I could settle for that. You know, that was okay, but just make sure you're going for the big picture. And, you know, eventually these cash buyers are going to run out of cash.
So we hope.
Oh, I know, but just stay consistent, cast as many stones as possible, and don't give up on anything. And if you are looking for a really great mortgage loan officer, I know a guy. You're more than welcome to reach out.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Crystal, for your time, your story. I had a really good time just listening to your story.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It was great. And I'm happy to share. I hope many other first-time home buyers are able to enjoy the experience.
Well, thank you so much. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.